Hey, wake up!
What day is this?
It's Friday.
Today is Friday.
When is it going to be Monday already?
Jury duty's the best. What? Aren't we saying things no one has ever said before?
It is Friday, right?
Are you ready?
Ready for the weekend.
I'm so ready.
Let's get this over
Let's get this over with.
Get what over?
Work.
I'm going to do weekends to the max.
Let's hit it.
It's showtime.
Boston's greatest hits. 105.7 WROR. Here's Lauren and Wally.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Friday. Friday. You can feel the Friday in the air. Woo. Well, you can feel the humidity in the air, too, can't you?
Man.
Ooh, nasty out there. So, last night, you know, flipped the ball game on. I'm watching the ball game, getting kind of discouraged. Then all of a sudden, wow, a football game broke out.
Man.
Final score was 15-7. Sox on
that
top.
That fourth inning, man.
Yeah.
I was heading to Bocce last night. We took two. It's 4-0. We're losing. I'm thinking, I had a lot of bad thoughts racing through my head. So while the other team is rolling from the opposite end, I'm looking at my phone. Hey, it's 4-2. Not too bad. I come back and I check it. The Red Sox have scored 7 runs.
Amazing.
The Yankees haven't gotten an out. They scored 8 in the fourth inning and they rolled to victory.
Unbelievable. Wow. Unbelievable. Okay. So we got 1 down, 3 to go against the Yankees here. And we have a 6.5 game lead this morning. So that's good news. So this is a big weekend. This is the Pan Mass weekend. Going to be kicking off. Let's see, what time you leave Sturbridge in the morning?
What is it, 5:30?
5:30?
Yeah, heading out to Sturbridge today.
I'm very proud of Brian Bell because he's married, 2 young kids. He works 10, 12 hours a day here. He's riding 192 miles.
Yep. Proud of him.
And he's got a sore rear end.
That's right.
It's
still a little sore.
Yeah. I think it has something to do with the kids. I don't know.
Okay. Chap my.
And for those of you who are going to be leaving on Sunday from Wellesley, we'll see you out of Wellesley Sunday.
And another shout out to another Medford police officer. This time, Joe Burns bought another book. Go to WROR.com.
We appreciate it.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing because there'll be 6,300 riders. There's 4,000 volunteers. It's like that. It's such a great weekend. So, and I want to try to call a rider who got in touch with us. It's her fourth year. She's been riding since she was 15.
Wow.
See, I'm just looking at the forecast. Let's see. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms in the morning and then mainly cloudy during the afternoon. So the clouds will help you riders a little bit. You know, could get a scattered thunderstorm, but it's going to be 81 degrees tomorrow. And then on Sunday, it's going to be the mid-80s and just partly cloudy. So, you know, good ride weekend coming up for you. Right now in Boston, it is warm out there. What's the latest temperature you saw?
78 degrees.
78 degrees, and it's, you know, it's 540. So stuff we got coming up on the program today. The writer who is 19 years old now that we just talked about, we're going to check in with her this morning. Let's see, the sad tale of Charlie Sheen. We'll cover that in Dirty Laundry.
Oh, yeah.
I did a little study yesterday for those sweaty parts.
Oh, yeah? How'd that go?
You know what? I have some very positive results to report to you.
Okay, good.
Very good.
You can use them for the rest of your day.
Apple stock. It did it yesterday. The first trillion-dollar company. And if you had... How much do you think you'd be worth now if you'd had the foresight to invest $10,000 in Apple... In 1984.
I put all my money in Brookstone.
Oh, you were going to call Wally?
Yeah, right. Happy birthday, Tom Brady. And the question is, who's in charge of the thermostat for the air conditioning in your place of work? And how are they doing with that thing?
Ooh.
Okay, all of this is coming up this morning right here on the Lauren and Wally Mornings.
105.7 WROR, the Lauren and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
We're very happy to welcome our player this morning. It's Alyssa Wharton, who's from Stoneham, Massachusetts. She's in the sales game, and she's ready to play the game and see if she can win $1,000 from Century Bank. Good morning, Alyssa. How are you doing today?
Morning. I'm good. Thanks.
You sound very chipper, very confident.
Yeah.
You know how this goes. Hank is going to give you, he's going to be your quiz master this morning. He's going to give you 10 questions within 60 seconds, of course. If you don't want to answer, don't waste any time. Just pass, move on. You have time left over at the end. You can come back and pick them up. You get them all right within 60 seconds. We give you $1,000 in cash from Century Bank. Are you prepared?
I guess so. Let's try it.
Okay, let's do this thing. 3, 2, 1, go.
Alyssa, how many years in a quarter century?
25.
Anne Hathaway played Mia Thermopolis in these films.
Princess Diaries.
Spell Tennessee.
T-E-N-N-E-S-S-E-E.
What is the capital city of the Land of Oz called in the Wizard of Oz movie?
Pass.
What is 4 times 12?
48.
Who was the Lone Ranger's sidekick?
Tonto.
In Monopoly, what color property is Marvin Gardens?
Pat.
Assembled from dead bodies, the monster from Mary Shelley's book turns against its creator. Name the monster.
Frankenstein.
Who did Kanye West interrupt during an award acceptance?
Taylor Swift.
When a hockey team is in the playoffs in overtime, the first goal wins, and it's called...
Sudden Death.
What is the capital city of the Land of Oz called in The Wizard of Oz?
Oh!
Wow!
You did a fine job. Wow. You did a really, really good job.
You didn't get any wrong.
One of the best ever.
Okay.
Really?
You had two that you passed, though.
Just those passes.
You got eight right. That was amazing.
Emerald City.
Yay.
Emerald City.
Emerald
the
City, yeah.
Capital city of the Land of Oz.
And then the Monopoly question.
Marvin Gardens is yellow.
Yellow.
You didn't play a lot of Monopoly, man.
Wow.
Okay. No.
That was really, really good.
I was proud of her math skills. She got two good math
very
questions.
Good. Yeah. Very good. Well, we have a consolation prize for you. And this is a real, this is a treat. A pair of tickets to an evening with the Beach Boys, August 8th, South Shore Music Circus. Everybody else, you can get your tickets. More info at themusiccircus.org. This could be a legendary performance. Enjoy it. Thank you very much. You did a very good job. You can be proud of yourself. Thank you for playing. Thank you for being a member of the nation. And have a fabulous day today.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Okay, everybody, let's get to it. Your Men from Maine is on the air here for WROR. Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Ephus is playing golf when his golf cart flips over on a hill and lands directly on top of him. Meantime, the lonely widow Perkins, who lives directly across the road, comes running to his aid. She grabs his ankles and pulls him out from under the cart, and we hear...
Oh, my! You better come across the street to my house. I'll check, make sure you're okay.
Well, all right.
When they get to the house, we hear the following conversation.
Now you take your clothes off so I can give you a full exam.
Well, okay, but I'm a married man.
Okay, well, while you take your clothes off, I'll give you a couple of moose heads to calm your nerves.
Well, okay, but I'm a married man.
It looks like you're okay, so while you're finishing up your moose heads, I'll give you a nice massage, and your muscles won't get all sore.
Well, okay, but I'm a married man. Oh, my, that feels good.
Following the massage, the lonely widow Perkins comes up with yet another suggestion.
Well, I think we should go up to my bedroom and make sure all your special parts are working okay as well.
Well, you know, I am a married man.
After a good 30 minutes of testing his special parts, we hear...
Ooh, how's about I cook you a nice dinner so you can regain your strength?
Now, wait a minute here. I told you, I'm a married man.
All you do is talk about your wife. Just where is she anyway?
Well, I'm not positive, but I'll bet you a couple of more moose heads she's still across the street under that golf cart.
Awesome. For another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men... from Maine.
Yeah?
Right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show.
105.7 WROR. The Lorne and Wally Show.
So, let's go ahead and find out what happened. What's the deal on the LeBron deal?
Yeah, we got late night talk shows. We got Jimmy Fallon talking about LeBron, and we've got Seth Meyers talking about the Big Friends reboot. Okay, so LeBron James, his son is playing hoops, and he went to see the game. So he does what any dad would do. He went out and performed some dunks, of course. Here's what Jimmy Fallon had to say about it.
LeBron James went on the court and showed off his skills before his son's basketball game. All the other parents were like, cool, but you're supposed to bring orange slices? So, did you bring those? Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
No.
I mean, come on.
No,
really. How about you just let your kid play and sit
you
there?
You think Bobby Orr would go on the ice before his kid's squirt
so.
Hockey game and do that? Never.
So.
All right, and here's what Seth Meyers... you know, just the other day, Jennifer Aniston was saying it might be a Friends reboot. Right. She would be up for it.
Jennifer Aniston said in an interview published yesterday that she is open to the idea of a Friends reboot. Though, according to Ross, they never got canceled. They were on a break.
Okay. Okay. That was too easy.
I know.
What the f*** is that?
The Lorne and Wally Show.
Holy
105.7 WROR.
Okay, so I know you just woke up this morning, and maybe for some reason or another, you couldn't stay after the Red Sox game last night.
Oh,
boy, you missed an unusual exciting, fantastic game.
Hope you made it to the fourth inning.
Yeah. Okay. And history was made last night at Fenway. We'll tell you what that was.
Got that coming up, 7:40. I'd make that 6:45 this morning. In the meantime, so, I mean, a little bit of everything happened at Fenway Park last night. I mean, it rained at Fenway Park when it wasn't raining anyplace else. And then it started raining baseball at Fenway Park last night. What a night, huh?
It didn't start out well. Yankees jumped out to a 3-0 lead. Didi Gregorius blasted one out. They took a 4-0 lead. I'm on my way to Bocce. I'm thinking, this is not going to end well.
Yeah, it was funny. I was watching it with my son, Sam. And, like, I'd walk out of the room and something would happen to you. Dad, you have to come back in here. It was amazing. That fourth inning was crazy.
So I checked the phone in the fourth inning. Hey, it's a 4-2 game. All of a sudden, they start to come back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They scored 7 runs before the Yankees recorded an out. They scored 8 total in the fourth inning, and they roll to a 15-7 absolute pounding and embarrassment of the New York Yankees. And usually when you say the name Pierce in Boston sports, you're talking about Paul Pierce, right? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Red Sox have a new first baseman, backup first baseman they got about a month ago, utility guy.
Yeah.
And his name is Steve Pierce. He hit not one, not two.
Uh-oh. There's another one. No. High deep drive, left field to the monster seats. That's off the light standard. First third home run of the game.
Have a night.
Have a week. Steve Pierce tonight in Boston is the man.
All right, a shout out to the Boston Herald's Jason Mastrodonato, who covers the Red Sox. Yesterday, the headline, I'm holding it right here in my hands. Pierce and Kinsler, Ian Kinsler.
Right, yeah.
Key to the New York series. Kinsler had 3 hits and 2 RBIs last night. So, the two of them combined, they were 6 for 11.
Wow.
With 8 RBIs and 5 runs scored last night.
Boy, he nailed it, didn't he?
How about that? Rick Porcello against the Yankees. Luis Severino tonight. The Sox lead by 6.5. Patriots plan to sign veteran wide receiver Eric Decker to a 1-year contract. And I read a report yesterday that said in this new book by Dave Wedge and Casey Sherman, I cannot wait to read it. It's called 12, The Inside Story of Tom Brady's Fight for Redemption, that Tom Brady felt betrayed by Bob Kraft. He was furious when the Patriots owner accepted Roger Goodell's 4-game suspension of Brady, and that Goodell offered Brady no suspension, but he must pay a $1 million fine, and he'd have to blame the two Patriots ball boys, who Brady said, absolutely not. They didn't deflate those balls. Okay? They were John Jastrzemski, and the other guy's name was Dave McNally.
Yeah.
McNally actually offered to fall on the sword for Brady just so Brady could play. Brady said, absolutely not, and he wouldn't do it. Pretty crazy.
Good for him.
I can't wait to read that book.
It just came out this week. I think they're going to come in, the guys who wrote it, next week and talk about it.
That's going to be fantastic. And, of course, 2018 Pan Mass Challenge, as we tried to raise $52 million for the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber. Starts tomorrow. Brian Bell riding 192 miles.
Okay. I want you to get out there, show your support. And, by the way, as long as we're talking about the Pan Mass Challenge, you know, we got 6,300 people riding, but the thousands of people who are volunteers, I mean, the water stations, you know, the paramedics who are along the way, everybody there, thank you so much. It is so really, really, really important, okay? Now, in the meantime, coming up next, right here on the Lorna White Morning Show, it's the Brian Bell Buster, and today it's all about pest control.
Yeah, it's Meredith's birthday, and she and her husband, Mark, have been kind of looking at pest companies, so Mark wanted to get her for her birthday. I called as a very not reputable pest company.
You know, if there's any other animals in the area, you know, mice, chipmunks, raccoons, snakes, we could take care of those, too. I don't know if you have anything like that out there, you know?
Nothing that big, I don't think.
I'm a trained falconer, so I could bring my falcon out and...
Whoa.
Sorry. That's my falcon, Lauren. Lauren Beckham Falcon. She's probably looking for a mouse or
what
something.
What on earth are you talking about?
Beckham Falcon. Really?
Oh, man. Wally. Mornings. 105.7 WROR.
Hello.
The Brian Bell Buster. Mornings on the 50s.
The Lauren and Wally Show.
105.7 WROR.
It's Meredith's birthday, and her husband, Mark, wanted to get her a Brian Bell Buster. So they've been looking at pest control companies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I called her as a questionable pest control company.
I see.
Hello?
Yeah, this is Carl Spackler from Zero Pest Control, just calling you back. You got some varmints you need removed.
Oh, right. My husband must have called you.
I know. You were looking for some tick mosquito spray for the backyard, make it a little more usable.
Yeah, you know what? We have a little bit of a mosquito problem, and, you know, the kids are playing out back, so we'd kind of like to make it a little bit safer for them.
Sure. Very easy procedure. We can come out and, you know, it's like a monthly spray, you know, tick mosquito spray. We could even take care of caterpillars or any termites you might have. That's no problem at all.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Good. You know, if there's any other problem animals in the area, you know, mice, chipmunks, or raccoons, snakes, we could take care of those, too. I don't know if you have anything like that out there, you know?
Nothing that big, I don't think.
I'm a trained falconer, so I could bring my falcon out and,
sorry.
That's my falcon, Lauren. Lauren Beckham Falcon. She's hungry. It's about feeding time. She's probably looking for a mouse or something.
What on earth are you talking about?
But, yeah, we can bring the falcon out to take care of some of your, you know, smaller varmint problems, if necessary.
Okay, I've never heard of that. But,
a little unconventional, but very effective. And it's very natural, you know, instead of putting poisons out, coming out with the falcon. They're natural predators, you know, so they take care of them right there.
Right, right. My husband's coming home a little bit later. I don't know if you want to,
And then I know a lot of people have been complaining about coyote, deer, maybe some of the larger animals roaming through the yards at night. And if you've got pets, the coyotes can really be a problem.
I've not seen a coyote.
Okay, because, again, in keeping with our all-natural method, you know, the best deterrent for predators are actually larger predators. So
right.
If you do have a coyote problem, I have a large bear, trained bear, that can come out and pee a perimeter around the yard if necessary.
Yeah, I don't think that's really, I don't think that is necessary, actually. I don't think we'll be needing...
Okay, if you don't want the bear, I could come out and mark some spots that are perimeter entry points. You know, you and the family, you could just go out and pee in the yard, and that should take care of them. Because really, man is a very large predator as well. It should scare the coyotes away.
Yeah, okay, that's not happening. But
it's all natural.
Okay, that's great. I'm just not quite sure.
So maybe just a tick and mosquito spray at this point? Maybe start there, start small?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because that's very easy to do. Also, a lot of these animals and pests that come through are nocturnal, you know, like the raccoon or the coyotes. And so what we can do with nocturnal animals, we've found that tracking their movements at night, the easiest way is for us to put up a tree stand and sit up there with our night vision and our thermal imaging and see which kind of pests are coming through your yard.
Honestly, I don't think that's really necessary, since maybe we only have, like, A groundhog,
really?
Into our yard every once in a while.
A groundhog's like a gopher, pretty much. I think they're the same thing.
Yeah, I think they might be, yeah.
Yeah, very highly aggressive member of the marmot family.
Yeah.
I could definitely put up the tree stand and check out the groundhogs. You know, there's a good tree right next to your house. I think it might even be right next to your bedroom window. We could, I could sit up there all night if you needed. And I got my night vision goggles.
You know what?
Right there, I don't... and check out that groundhog. You know, I think it's time somebody teaches these little varmints a lesson about morality and what it's like to be a decent, upstanding member of society, you know? Come to Carl, varmint. Hey, I guess we're playing for keeps now, you know? In the words of Jean-Paul Sartre... Au revoir, gopher.
I'm sorry. Like, are you quoting Caddyshack?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
You know something, Meredith?
Oh, what?
This is Brian Bell from the Lorna Wally Show. This is a Brian Bell buster. Your husband Mark got in touch with us and wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to kill him. That was funny, though. Good job.
Well, happy birthday, and thanks for listening to the Lorna Wally Show.
Oh, thank you.
And you can get Mark back on his birthday if you'd like, okay?
Oh, I plan on it.
Got someone you want us to call? Tell us who at the Lauren and Wally page of WROR.com. The Brian Bellbuster. Mornings on the 50s. 105.7 WROR.
Well, I guess the old saying is, hey, are you ready? Well, as ready as I'm ever going to be. It's a PADMAS challenge kicks off tomorrow morning. The riders, be leaving tomorrow morning from the Sturbridge location, probably around 5:30.
Yeah.
And the big ceremony, opening ceremony, is this evening.
Yeah, tonight you can watch it on Channel 4. WBZ has it.
And I got an email here from a longtime supporter and a member of the our team here, WROR.
Yeah, I wanted to give her a shout-out because we have, you know, listeners that have joined Team WROR. Yeah,
we appreciate it, too. Really do.
And Deb has done it every year with us.
Deb Bacciacci. And says, back in my 11th ride, riding PADMAS Challenge, the most rewarding event I have ever been part of. Watching my family, friends, and coworkers battle cancer has kept me motivated this year. Even more important, I will be riding for one of my kindergarten students who is currently fighting for her life. Your courage and zest for life will be enough to motivate that got me through those hills. So thank you very much, Deb. Appreciate it.
And I'd like to shout out to Dave Winthrop and Tim Brightman and the gang from Fat Tuesday. They're a great team that helps me get ready for the ride.
The best guys.
Yeah. And there's so many stories. And we actually got an email from a young lady who is participating in her fourth Pan Mass. And, she's got another amazing story. This is Leah Peterson.
Hi, Leah. How you doing this morning?
Hi, Brian.
How's it going, Leah?
Good. How are you?
Me here. We got Lauren. We got Hank. We're all here. And, we got your email. And
Back in 2015, you were the youngest rider in the Pan Mass Challenge, right?
Yeah. So that year I was 15, and we rode out from Wellesley that year. And I think that was about 160-something miles that year. But it was something for sure.
Had you ever done anything like Pan Mass before?
No, I actually hate biking. I absolutely hate it. I had never even owned a road bike before that year. We actually had to go out a few months before the Pan Mass, and we went to a bike store that I was able to completely figure out how I was even supposed to sit on road bike.
Yeah.
The whole first few training rides of figuring out how to clip in, clip out, fell over a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah.
But my dad had a road bike before, especially in college and in high school, but I'd never had that experience. And, of course, I hate it, but it's a good cause.
Now, Leah may hate biking, but she loved her mother, and you lost your mother to cancer. When you were a junior in high school at the time?
I was a sophomore.
Sophomore in high school at the time. And that's when you decided you had to ride, right?
Yeah. So I actually had known someone that had ridden in the Pan Mass Challenge for about 5 years, and he had battled with cancer a few times. And it came to a point where he wasn't able to ride anymore. So that's how I found out about it. But in January, my mom was really sick. She started having a lot of anxiety. And she passed away in February. So it was really towards the end. And she really had no idea what to do. And she was really concerned she wasn't going to have a legacy. I'm her only kid. And it was just a really stressful time for all of us. And I told her that I would be riding in the Pan Mass for her. And through her battle and through her death, she would be helping a lot more people and bring awareness to things like this, because she had liver cancer that was just an incurable form and really aggressive. And so that year, I told her, and I was able to tell her that we were going to do this. And, of course, my dad starts saying, "Oh, hell no, you're not." And he had already told me that he thought that was a great idea. And so then he kind of hopped on the bandwagon, too, and it's going to be our fourth year.
Getting a lot of support from your friends and family and neighbors and all that, too, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think our first year we raised over $20,000 just because of the amazing outport from Upton, Massachusetts. Shout out Upton, Massachusetts. Really small town, but everyone knew my mom, and everyone loved her. She was part of every single committee and sports team, and was my assistant jump rope coach because I decided to jump rope. And everyone knew and loved that woman.
And Leah, talk about the crowds. Brian has talked about how great the people lining the streets are during the race to keep you going.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, one of my goals one day is to run one of the marathons. And the way people have described it to me is that during a marathon, people will tell you to keep going and just to keep running and good job, like, keep going. But during the Pan Mass, people will line the streets just to say thank you. It's really a different feeling. And when you are climbing the hills and the cape, and then you come across signs on either side of the road of kids battling cancer, and it's an awful hill, but you're looking at these kids' faces, and then you pull into the rest stop and they're all there. It's just really an amazing feeling.
Amazing is, I think that's so true. Hey, listen, this is your, and it's coincidentally, it's our fourth year, and we encourage anybody, get out and support people. If you can give, please give, because it's such an important thing here. We got, $52 million is a goal this year, and we can do this. Over $500 million already been raised by the PMC. Leah, by the way, and you're in college now, and you're studying to be an oncologist, is that right?
Yeah, so I'm a Roger Williams University in my undergrad. Obviously, there's a whole lot of school for pediatric oncology, but I had initially wanted to be a vet. And actually, through writing the Pan Mass Challenge, I've decided I want to connect my career to the thing that's going to be most important in my life for the next 50 years. And I've always loved kids. I always enjoyed working with kids. And I've always thought that their stories are some of the most inspirational because you will never not see a smile on their faces. And I would love to be a pediatric oncologist one day.
That's awesome. Wow. Hey, ride well, stay hydrated, and thanks a million.
You're a special young lady.
Yeah, you are.
We'll see you in Sturbridge.
Okay, see you in Sturbridge. Have a great, great weekend, okay?
All right. See you okay. guys soon.
Thanks, Leah.
You betcha. Okay, coming up next, right here on the Lauren Wally Morning Show, Men from Maine, in this particular edition, because read a story yesterday about this guy who's got, this happened out in the Midwest, this guy broke into these people's house, and he was scared away. He knew he was going to rob the place. The pet pig actually scared the guy away. So we thought perhaps we should play a Men from Maine pig episode for you this morning.
That's right.
So this is about Ephus. He's out walking his pet pig, Oscar, the three-legged pig with a wooden leg. That's coming up next right here at WROR. In the meantime,
the Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Time for the pig episode, Men from Maine. Here we go.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Ephus is walking down the street with his pet pig, Oscar, the three-legged pig with a wooden leg, when he runs into Lem and we hear...
Say, Ephus, what you doing with a pig with a wooden leg?
Oh, this is Oscar, and he's a special pig.
Oh, what makes him so special?
Well, about a month ago, I was walking through the woods and got attacked by a black bear. An old Oscar here come running out of nowhere, and he saved me.
Oh, is that when he lost that leg?
Oh, no. And then a couple of weeks ago, my house caught on fire. And while I was sleeping, old Oscar came in and pulled me through the flames to safety.
No, that's when he lost the leg.
No. Then just last weekend, I was up on a ladder. It started to fall, and Oscar, he run underneath and broke my fall.
And that's when he lost the leg?
No, that wasn't it either.
How did he lose that leg?
Well, you wouldn't expect me to eat a great pig like this all at once, would you?
Join us again, sir, for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine.
Hey,
right here on the Lauren and Wally Morning Show.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show, brought to you by Horizon Interiors.
Well, you realize we're moving into what they refer to as the dog days of summer, you know? It's really hot and listless kind of thing.
Swampy today.
I think they should be called the sweaty days of summer. So, Hank has gone on a mission. He's done some research. And there's certain spots on your body that sweat more than other spots. And Hank has determined the best way to prevent sweating in the sweatiest spots.
One simple trick I learned yesterday.
Very good. Okay, that's our special report coming up. In the main morning, this is the Lorna Wadi Morning Radio Program. And I know you've been waiting for this. This is extremely important information we have coming up for you right now. And Hank has done the research to back this up. This is how to prevent yourself from sweating in the sweatiest of places. I mean, the place, we're talking about the places on your body.
The places on your body.
Not like Bakersfield, California.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Or Medford, Massachusetts. I walked outside. I felt like I was in Miami this morning.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the dew point was, but the humidity was up around 80%. It gets absolutely
yesterday,
ridiculous.
Yesterday, the dew point in the city was 79.
So, you know, everybody sweats. And,
sure,
you know, you wear the different clothing. But when you get a little bit chubbier, and dare I say fat, some other spots sweat more than others.
Of course.
You know, you're heavy. You need to labor a little bit. You got the heat. It's starting to drip a little bit.
It seems to be spots where skin overlaps other skin areas.
Right. I didn't want to put, say, skin folds in moist areas, Lauren, but now that you brought it up.
Still didn't have to.
I was at Tom and Kristen Ross's 25th wedding anniversary. I DJed last week, and I was sitting down, and I got up to go out on the floor to do something. And I had a nice, I looked like Sipowicz, but I had a nice plaid short sleeve going.
Yeah.
And I stood up, and I had that man boob sweat line. I was so embarrassed.
Moob sweat?
Oh, it was awful.
You got to stick a panty liner under your moobs.
Well, you want to know what? They were all out when I went into the CVS. So I decided, I was thinking, oh, my God. And it's happened before. I was driving in the car. Even with the air conditioning going sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, you can't direct it into those spots as much as you tried.
That's why I like my air-conditioned seats.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So anyway, I did this little experiment yesterday. I used Tom's of Maine deodorant.
Yes.
Deodorant. Not antiperspirant, like strictly deodorant.
All natural.
All natural. Because all I don't want the aluminum. I do enough damage to my body, I don't want the aluminum to add to it. So yesterday, I went out. When I got home, I had to go out for a ride. So I lifted up my shirt and just one easy swipe, like right from your side. the way across underneath my chubby chest and put my shirt back on. I went out for a ride. I drove around. I had stuff to do for 2 hours. Not a single drop of man boob sweat.
Wow. Well, you're in the air-conditioned car.
Yeah, but I was out walking around. I had to get out. I had to go into the store. Okay, so usually, you know, even if you're out,
you're going
to
work up a little sweat.
It doesn't take long to work up sweat when it's, you know, 95 and it's humid outside. So I'm thinking two and a half hours, three, 4 hours, no sweat. I mean, I was outside. I was sitting on my porch. I was sitting in the position where some of those rolls kind of go where they're not supposed to and have caused some sweaty spots. Later in the day, I would say after 5 hours, the key is to reapply. Because after 5 hours, it returned. Yep. But I got 5 dry hours from my man boob sweat, and I saved myself a lot of embarrassment.
Okay.
Until you talked about it on the radio.
That's right. Okay.
I mean, you know what? I'm trying to do it for the people.
That's good.
You know, some people use corn flour, argan oil. I don't like powders because powders, you know, they can cause you some other troubles.
Turns into gravy.
Now, I didn't use the deodorant stick for all my sweaty spots.
That's good to hear.
I needed a control group.
Yes,
true.
I see.
Very scientific of you.
Right. Extremely scientific.
But, you know, like the backs of your knees. Brian's going to be riding a bike this weekend.
Yep.
You know, we sweat.
I'll have a lot of sweaty spots.
So you're suggesting the minute you get out of the shower today.
Dry your body well.
Okay, and then nail the bad spots.
Take your moist, sweaty spots.
Oh, God.
Rub deodorant back and forth. You're going to be good.
Got it.
You're going to be good.
Right. Okay.
It's that simple.
Much. Now, here's another problem.
Do you want to see those sweaty spots that I didn't touch?
No.
Oh.
No. Okay. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for your 7:45 Dirty Laundry Update. Lot of stuff for you today.
Yeah, this is brought to you by Citizens Bank. I'm going to tell you about this crazy McDonald's Monopoly story. Charlie Sheen. Oh, boy. Lollapalooza. You know the festival?
Yeah.
How it got its name. And movie cars. Great movie cars. Okay. I want to start with this because it's amazing. I just read this article last week on Daily Beast. They did this whole story last weekend about this former police officer back in like the 80s and 90s who was in charge of security for the McDonald's Monopoly game.
Yep.
And he rigged it.
It's an amazing story. And this is a true story.
Yeah. And he stole all these pieces and then sold them off to, you know, mobsters and psychics and strip club owners and drug traffickers.
Wow.
And it's this insane story. And I read it last week. It's a huge story on Daily Beast. And then yesterday, big news, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck have bought the rights to the movie version of this story.
It was the guy is like the real-life Hamburglar.
I mean,
seriously.
It's crazy.
And it's just absolutely an amazing story.
Keep an eye out for that one. I'm curious if Matt's going to play the guy or not. They called him Uncle Jerry. And, man, it's an amazing story.
He's in jail, I take it?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Long time.
You have to know a lot of people who can keep their mouths shut to pull that off.
I know, yeah.
I still have like two-thirds of the article to go. It's a huge article.
I wonder if he knows what the special sauce recipe is.
He's hiding that.
He wasn't in that division.
Oh.
Okay, so then Charlie Sheen.
Oh.
He's running out of money. He's trying to get his child support payments reduced. He claims he can't afford them anymore. He pays $20,000 a month to Denise Richards for their daughters and $55,000 a month to Brooke Mueller for his twin sons, Bob and Max. And he says he's down to less than $10 million and the bills are piling up and he's been blacklisted from many aspects of the entertainment industry.
I'm down to my last $10
million. Yeah, but the interest from the $10 million alone would cover those. I mean, come on.
But then he's also got, you know, he owes millions to his lawyers, the IRS, the bank for his mortgage. He's past due on gardening, pool cleaning.
He just sold his house in Malibu, didn't he?
He listed his estate for $10 million, so he's...
you realize when he was doing 2.5 Men, he was the highest actor on TV, was making almost $2 million per episode.
Ooh, boy, And then, you know, Perry Farrell founded Lollapalooza, the big music festival, and it's synonymous. I mean,
right.
You know, great.
Tough
music
to spell,
festival,
but...
Yeah. Where did that come from? Well, you know, Perry Farrell was thumbing through the dictionary one time. So, kids, when we had to learn how to spell words, there was this book that had all the words in it.
Yeah.
And you'd have to look them up. And he saw the word Lollapalooza, and he's like, huh. And then he saw it again in a Three Stooges episode.
So that's where it came from?
Moe said, oh, that's a Lollapalooza. Isn't that right, Porcupine? So there you go. And Hank, what's your favorite movie car?
Oh, easy. Herbie the Love Bug.
There you go. Number four. They did a greatest movie cars of all time. Number one was James Bond's Aston Martin. It was in seven Bond films, starting with Goldfinger in 64. Number two was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Number three, Doc Brown's DeLorean. I am very upset that my favorite is number nine, the Mustang from Bullet.
Oh, the fastback Mustang.
Yeah, that was a good one. And there's two Batmobiles on here, too. The one from TV series and the movie in 66.
I thought Thelma and Louise, the car they were driving, that would be on there, but it's not, is it?
No. So we'll put that up at WROR.com. See your favorites on there.
The Lauren and Wally Show. 105.7 WROR.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
Yes, we're excited. You're excited. Everybody's excited because it is time to play Win a Grand in 60 Seconds. Malcolm Butters is from Milford. Malcolm Butters is from Milford, Massachusetts. And he is a manager in the food industry game. So we
of course he is. With a name like that?
I've got to be. Malcolm? Everything goes better with Butters. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Malcolm, how you doing this morning?
All right. How are you guys?
We're doing great, thank you. You feeling confident this morning?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Hank is standing by right now. Hank is going to ask you 10 questions. You'll have 60 seconds to answer those 10 questions. We hear the ticker in the background. If you get all the way through and we get all 10 right, we give you $1,000 from Century Bank. It's that simple. Now, you can say pass at any time, and you have time left over at the end. You can come back, pick them up, and once again, you make it all the way through. Bingo, $1,000 in cash from Century Bank. So if you're ready, Hank said he's ready.
You know what? I'm feeling good because I love butter.
Okay. Yeah, I think everybody's ready. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, one, go.
Malcolm, what is 14 plus 34?
47.
Where would you find the Sea of Tranquility?
Pass.
In which country is the Great Barrier Reef?
Australia.
In the U.S., what holiday is celebrated on the fourth Thursday of November?
Thanksgiving.
How many days in the month of May?
31.
Meryl Streep played Miranda Priestly in what film?
Pass.
Name the world's largest ocean, and you can see it from the Sunset District.
Pacific.
What language do people in Argentina speak?
Portuguese.
How many points are scored for a touchdown in American football?
7.
Who wrote The Hunger Games?
Pass.
Where would you find the Sea of Tranquility?
Time has expired on you, Malcolm.
Did okay.
But by count, you had two wrong, two passes, and six correct.
Okay. You don't really? You got four right in Mike. One, two, three, four.
Oh, you're right. Four. Correct. Yeah, you're right.
You know, math is tough.
Math was, yeah. It was
14 plus 34 is 48. The Sea of Tranquility is actually on the moon.
The moon.
Tranquility Base.
Tranquility Base.
Meryl Streep starred as Miranda Priestly in The Devil Wears Prada. They speak Spanish in Argentina. And actually, a touchdown in American football is worth 6 points, not seven. The seven is with the extra point afterward. Yeah. And Suzanne Collins, she wrote The Hunger Games.
Okay, we got a prize for you, though. It's a consolation prize, and it's a very good consolation prize. A pair of tickets to see An Evening with the Beach Boys. August 8th, South Shore Music Circus. It's really cool. It's awesome. You'll have a terrific time. I know that.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much for being a member of the nation. Thank you very much for playing the game. Have yourself a great day and a great weekend, okay?
All right, thanks.
You bet. Everybody else, you can win, too. You can play the game. All you have to do is log on and register. Enter to be a contestant now at WRR.com. You can win $1,000 at Century Bank. And by the way, if you'd like to check out those Beach Boy tickets, musiccircus.org, check that out, okay? In the meantime, coming up next on the Lauren Wally Morning Show. This is a big day in the life of Tom Brady.
Oh, boy.
41 years old today. Go figure. So we're going to help you celebrate the life of Tom Brady and tell you about something you possibly, I don't know how much of this to believe, but I'm always willing to spread rumors.
There are some stunning revelations that we'll tell you about coming up shortly.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
It is that time of the year, ladies and gentlemen. It is back to school shopping. I was in L.L. Bean the day before yesterday, I think it was, and there was a mom and two kids in there.
And they were doing the shopping thing, and they were getting backpacks.
Oh, those are good backpacks. Yeah.
That was backpacks. A thing. When my kids were in high school, everybody had to have an L.L. Bean backpack.
Backpack, okay. So I was going through some of the numbers I ran across here about back-to-school shopping and how expensive it is. And this year in particular, it seems to have gone up. For example, last year the average for new clothes, and this is per child, was $153. This year it's up to $189. Same thing, electronics. Last year, $121, up to $186 this year. Everything is going up here. And so recommendations on some ways for you to save money, because other things that you need for back-to-school besides, you know, the regular items. But the teachers need supplies. You know how some teachers really get screwed because, you know, you got some kids in there who can't really afford everything. Yeah. And so they will supplement the, you know, all the supplies for those kids. And they end up footing the bill out of their own salary. So if you want to be a good person and you got, you know, you get together with your friends and decide, okay, look, why don't we buy some of the supplies in bulk? And the supplies they're looking for, you know, like the pencils and the erasers that go over the top of the pencil and all those kind of things.
There's a lot of erasers.
Crayons and all that sort of thing. Go and buy that in bulk. And for example, we had a commercial on this morning. It was for Staples. And they're doing a back-to-school sale right now where you can get a great deal. And if you go, like, four or five of you and your friends go together, you buy all that stuff, and then you spread it around, okay? And then the other thing is, if you do splurge on an item, splurge on the things that are going to last through the year. Don't splurge on pencils. Splurge on a better quality backpack that's not going to fall apart.
How do you splurge on a pencil?
Yeah, well, you
what's
know,
a really, really nice high-end pencil that you're going to splurge on?
Maybe it's a number three pencil.
Yeah.
Yeah, a number three pencil.
I want to know where they went wrong on the number one pencil, because the number two has dominated.
It really has. And they used to say, we're number one. Not anymore. So if you want to buy some items... your kid really doesn't need the brand new wardrobe or a year's. Don't buy an entire wardrobe all at once. You know?
No, just buy a couple new outfits. You gotta have something snappy to.
Just saw Sam Bell.
Yeah.
Kid is a basketball stud. He likes those basketball shoes, the Kyries and what have you. Yeah. What's he going back to school and how much do they cost?
I don't know what jersey he's going to choose for back to school yet.
But it will be a Celtics jersey.
It will be probably a. Yeah,
well, what about the sneakers?
He gets his. He likes his Kyries.
Kyries, how much are those?
Like $80.
Oof.
Could be worse.
With the ones he has now, because I got him new ones for basketball camp. He just finished 4 weeks of basketball camp.
Yeah.
But he doesn't wear them outside.
He
brings his sneakers in a bag, wears his sandals, only wears them in the gym. And he does it at school, too. He'll wear his sandals to school and bring his shoes in his backpack.
Good for him.
That's a
good boy. He takes very good care of them.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Okay, so good luck and good shopping out there.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.